It says that the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. It's a remarkable comment. I don't know how great the crowds were. In many instances, there were a great multitude. And he said, if anyone thirst, are there any thirsty in this room tonight? There's, according to Scripture, there's three groups of people in this world. There's the Jew, and the Gentile, and the Church of God. But also, according to Scripture, there are two kinds of people in this world. There's those that are saved and those that are lost. As I look around tonight, I know most of you, and I know you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, but I don't really know your heart. God does. When God spoke to Samuel and asked him to go and anoint one of the sons of Jesse, he didn't tell him which son. He just said to go and have a little feast and invite Jesse and his family, his sons. And one of Jesse's sons stood up, a big man, bigger than I am, and Samuel about to arise to anoint him, and the Lord says, no, I've not chosen him. Man looketh at the outward appearance, but God looketh at the heart. So as I say tonight, I don't see your heart. I don't know what's in your heart, and you don't know what's in mine. But God does. Apostle Paul could say, the Lord knoweth them that are his. But let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Tonight I'd like to speak a little bit about books and names. Each one in this room has a name. There's something in the early part of Scripture that tells us that God wrote down your name. I don't know when. It may have been before the foundation of this world. I don't know. But he did write down your name. And everyone in this room's name is in a book. Every single one. There's many books in Scripture. I'm not going to speak about all of them. I'm only going to speak about a few. But there's one book that's extremely important. It is most important, and that's the Book of Life. Now, as I said, there's two classes of people, saved and lost. Those two classes of people are written in one of these two books. The Book of Life, or the book that's going to be opened at the judgment of the great white throne. And it says there, and I will come to that later, the books were opened. And everyone was judged according to the things written in the books. Their name was listed, and then their deeds. Oh, my. Oh, my. Judged according to the works, according to their deeds. This afternoon and this morning, there was brought before us the glories of the person, the beauties of the scene that awaits those that belong to Christ. And there's only those whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or the Book of Life, is going to be there. Let's turn first, but before we do, there's two other places in Scripture that names are written. In Jeremiah 17, it says, their names are written in the earth. Isn't that something? If you write your name in the earth, that's exactly where it's going to stay. You're never going to be in heaven. Scripture speaks of the earth dwellers. Earth dwellers.
It's true that you and I live here on earth, but we are not earth dwellers. We are destined for heaven. There's a scripture in Luke 10 that says, goes something like this, "Rejoice not that the spirits obey thee, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven." Written in heaven. So your name is written in the book of judgment, or your name is written in the book of life. Your name is written in the earth, or your name is written in heaven. It's that simple. And tonight in this room, there's only two places your name's going to be written, or is written, one or the other. Turn now to the book of Exodus in the 32nd chapter. Now we know this story. I'm not going to read it. Excuse me while I take off my coat. I'm going to read one verse, but before I do, I'm going to speak a little bit about the man that spoke these words, Moses, and he was interceding for Israel. Picture of Christ, no doubt. But listen to what he says, 32nd verse. 32nd chapter and 32nd verse of Exodus. "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written." The Lord said, "No, I'm not going to do that." And he accepted Moses' intercession. But what I want to emphasize is out of thy book, God's book. Go to the 62nd Psalm and you'll see another expression similar. But not quite exactly the same. However, I believe the two books probably are somewhat the same. 69th Psalm. And I'd like you very much, and I'm not going to read them, but I'd like you very much at your leisure to read from about the 18th and 19th verse on down, to get the connection of what this verse is speaking about, the 28th verse. "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous." This is speaking about those who were at the cross, who were against the person of Christ, who did everything in their power to ridicule, hurt. You know, at the cross, two very major things were displayed. The wicked, incorrigible heart of man, and the unfathomable grace of God. But here, you know, there's something about that scene of Calvary that's amazing. You know, we use that word rather loosely oftentimes, and there are several words in the English language that have great meaning which are used very loosely. Amazing is one of them. There was a man at that cross. Though he doesn't say anything about his thoughts regarding the Lord Jesus, but he was a commander. It says he was the centurion, and that's the captain over 100 men. And when the Lord died, he makes a comment in Mark's gospel, and he makes a comment in Luke's gospel, in Matthew's gospel. And one of them is this: truly, this was the Son of God. Now this verse, 28th verse, I don't believe is speaking about him. It's speaking about those that were in total animosity to the person of Christ. The book of the living. Let me just give you a little thought on the book of the living. The book of the living is the book I said that your name was written in. The book of every living person that ever lived on this earth or ever will live on this earth is written in the book of the living. Now, God can wipe the name out of that. And it says he does. It says he will. The book of the living. Now, in the 40th Psalm, there's another expression. And this again is God's book. And this book is a little different than the other two we've just looked at. And it's quoted, this very verse is quoted in Hebrews, 40th Psalm, and the 7th verse. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book that is written of me. It's quoted in Hebrews, 10th chapter, and it's speaking, of course, of the person of Christ. And the book, the volume of the book, this book is God's total plan for this world. Total plan, I believe, for eternity. And that book is where the name is written, where the Lord Jesus says, in the volume of the book it's written of me, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Your name is not in this book, I don't believe. This book has to do, accepting that it's in God's plan for his overall picture, that's this book. Now, in Daniel 12, we get another book, and that's a little different, and definitely your name and my name is not in that book. Daniel 12, and the first verse. And this picture is yet to come. This picture has not happened yet. It may not be very far off. That time, that's this coming time which hasn't arrived yet, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. This is another book. This is God's book again. Only it's a book of those that are faithful to him during the tribulation. They're going to be delivered. They're going to be delivered. Now let's look at a book that speaks about you. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians 4. Oh, how important if your name is not written in this book. Start with the verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. The book of life. This book is so important that when the millennium is all over and the throne is set up, that great white throne where the judge of all the earth is going to sit, the person of Christ himself, this book is brought out. The book of life. So let's go there to the 20th chapter of Revelation. Man has many ideas. He's got many ideas about how to get to heaven. He's got many ideas about his good works. But Scripture says that when they stand, I've had it said to me, and I'm sure you had too, well, wait till I stand before God, I'll tell him what I think. Oh, no, you won't. Oh, no, you will not. Every mouth will be stopped and all the world will become guilty before God. What an amazing thing. Now there's some of us in this room that a little bit old. We've seen a lot of things. We've seen a lot of things that have happened in the past. We've seen a lot of people that have come and gone. Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, Tojo, others. But you know, in their lifetime, and when they were Hart and Haley, there was nothing that they thought they couldn't do. There was nothing that they put their hand to that they wouldn't finish, they thought. They thought. God didn't enter into their thoughts at all, excepting maybe from a blasphemous standpoint. Everyone I've mentioned is now in the lake of fire. They now know. We have a gentleman in our assembly that's a postman. He was a school teacher at one time, and he got tired of trying to teach kids that didn't listen. And so he went to work for the post office. And he gives the gospel to everybody he meets. And in his office, there's a man he speaks to quite often. And one day the man just got quite angry with him. And so this young man said to him, "Look, all I want to tell you is this. What I've been telling you is the straight facts, truth of God. And within 10 seconds after you're dead, you'll know it's true." True. Mussolini, Hitler, Tojo, Stalin. When they died, they realized who God was. And if there's any in this room that doesn't know Christ, you too will realize who God is. Let's go to the 20th chapter of Revelation. And this is a very interesting commencement to this, the 12th verse, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." And the books were opened. Before we read the rest of it, let's go to the 13th verse. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." And they were judged every man according to their works. You've had it said to you, and I have too. I've done good. I've never done anything bad. Everything I've done has been good. And if I did do anything bad, I've done so many good things that they're going to outweigh the bad. No, that's not the way God looks at it. Pilate could say at the cross, "What shall I do then with Jesus? What shall I do then with Jesus?" If this were true, if man by his good works could have gotten into heaven, why would God have sent his Son? Oh no. No, there was a penalty to be paid. You know, the Lord, when he was here, he spoke in many parables. And one of them was about a person who owed a great debt. And it says he owed 10,000 talents. Nobody in this room has ever owned 10,000 talents. And never will. Multi-millions of dollars. Never able to pay. And his master, his Lord says, he frankly forgave him the debt. He frankly forgave him. The debt that was owed at Calvary's cross was so great, we've never been told what it was, because we couldn't understand it. My debt alone, beyond payment. Your debt, beyond payment. Couldn't pay it. But it was paid. There's an interesting situation in the Gospels that I don't believe you'll ever find, that it says the Lord forgave them their sin. And it's true in the one that owed the 10th, he frankly forgave him his debt. But you know, it doesn't say that the debt was paid there. Because no debt that was ever owed in regard to the judgment of God against sin was ever paid until Calvary. And that's why we have Romans chapter 3, verse 25. You know, in the 10th chapter of Hebrews and the 4th verse, it says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls or of goats could ever take away sin." Not possible. That load of sin, every day of atonement, the debt just kept piling up. Higher and higher and higher. God covered them.
Because they would be paid for. But not by man, but by his son. You know, when it says in the 13th chapter of Matthew that he found a treasure in the field, and it says that he went and sold all that he had and bought the field. He went and sold all that he had and bought the field. The payment was made at Calvary. That's one side of the coin. He searched and found a pearl of great price. And he went and sold all that he had, and he bought the pearl. Again, that was Calvary. When he sold all that he had. But the world, when he bought the world, he bought, that's what we have in Peter when it says they denied the one that bought them. They denied the one that bought them because he bought the world. He paid for it. That doesn't mean that when he bought the world, that he paid the penalty that the whole world owed. He paid the penalty that the treasurer in that field. And when he bought the pearl, he paid the price to buy that pearl. And who is the pearl? His bride. His bride. So let's go back now to the 12th verse and finish reading the verse. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And another book was opened. God knows everything. Why was the book of life opened? The books were opened, and those were the books of judgment. You know, I think it's just pure, unadulterated grace that we have here. Is it possible that there's one out there that's in the book of life? No, there wasn't. But that's for you and me. If you're not in the book of life, remember this. At that scene that's just been read, your name is going to be in the books of judgment. And then the search is going to be made. It's not there. Your name is only in one place, not in the book of life. What a terrible thing. Now, I can't imagine, and I don't think any of us can, what that scene is going to be like. Nor can we imagine what the scene of destruction is going to be like. To be cast in the lake of fire. You know, a lake is a confined body of water. A river is not. A lake has no way to get out. That's why it's called a lake. And the lake of fire is confined. There's no way out. It isn't that after a multitude of years that you're going to get out? No. It's so horrible.
It's almost beyond, it is beyond our comprehension. And this scene, think of it, at the flood, there could have been, the mathematicians have calculated, it could have been anywhere from 5 to 15 billion people on earth, easily. So let's put a figure of 5. 5 billion people. Now, I'm not saying that those 5 billion people all went into the lake of fire, because that's not true. But there were 5 billion people. And from then till now, how many? Right now, today, there's about 7.4 billion people on earth. About 7.4. And since the flood till now, how many? Billions. Literally, billions of people. Now, I'm not saying that all of them are going to be in the lake of fire, because that wouldn't be true. But when we consider the horribleness of eternity in the lake of fire, it's expressed in a number of ways in Scripture. But this is the close. This is the close just before the eternal state. The millennium is all over. The Lord has come for His saints. Are you going to be here after He comes? Let me tell you this. If you're here after He comes, you're going to go through the tribulation. If you think that's simple, just read the book of Revelation from the 6th chapter until now, till we are here. You're going to go through that. You're going to experience what it says there, and that in itself is horrible. If your name is not written in the book of life now, it can be. It can be. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's just as good right now as it was when He spoke it. Just as good. You still can come. I know a young lady that whose grandfather, he's passed away now. But he resisted the truth. He resisted the thought of salvation. And his comment always was this: I have never sinned. I've never sinned. So one day, his granddaughter says to him, you know, Grandpa, if you've never sinned, how come you raised so many sinners? True that was. We've all sinned. I'm not a sinner, and you're not a sinner if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and there's Scripture for that. God will never call you a sinner, but before you're saved, that's all you are, that's all you were, and that's all you could be, was a sinner. And if you're not written in the Lamb's Book of Life right now, you know it, but you can be. so simple. God has made salvation simple, otherwise there'd be no saved ones at all. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. How simple that is. The 13th verse of Romans 10. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the simplest thing I can possibly think of. Peter said, Lord, save me, and that was it. The woman that said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. And she comes up behind the Lord Jesus and she does touch his garment. And immediately it says that she was healed. It's that simple. You know, at the great white throne, there may be a lot of thoughts, and I don't have an inkling of how many billions are going to be standing there. Not an inkling. But of everyone, everyone will have, I believe, the same thought. Because they'll see the one who they rejected. They'll see him. They'll look right on his face. They'll realize it could have been different. It could have been different. It's amazing. To me, it's amazing, and I'm sure it's amazing to the Lord. We sing a hymn, God offering, God giving forth, and man refusing. God beseeching, man refusing, to be made forever glad. It's amazing. So let's get back to this scene of the great white throne. As I said earlier, it's the end. The millennium has ended. The 1,000 years is over. This world, I've had it said to me, and I know you have too, that if man had an environment that was the right kind of environment, he'd be a good man. Well, the millennium is going to be the most perfect environment that man has ever seen on this earth up to that time. No, we're not talking about the next chapter. Perfect environment. There's not going to be any sickness. There's not going to be any poverty. There's not going to be any hunger. There's not going to be any death except for sin. It's going to be a perfect government. Absolutely perfect government. This world has never seen that. And for 1,000 years, man's going to have the most perfect environment that could possibly be on this earth. And what happens? Let's read it. The seventh verse. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. That's not the Gog and Magog of Ezekiel 38 and 39. It means the conglomerate of peoples, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now that was man's result. That was man's answer to a perfect environment. That was man's answer to God, to the perfection of which they experienced for 1,000 years. Think of it, 1,000 years, they never went hungry, There was no disease. Actually, you know, when the millennium first starts, man is still going to exercise some of his wicked thoughts and his wicked ways, but it won't last very long. Because the minute that that happens, every morning, he'll be judged. There'll be no trial. There'll be no judge and jury. There won't be any crooked judges or any crooked juries. It'll be an instantaneous judgment. And so after about 2 or 3 weeks, there won't be any sin demonstrated. Man's got a brain. He's going to say, wait a minute, it doesn't pay to do this. And 4 times, and possibly a 5th time, in Scripture it says they feign obedience. They go through the millennium, and they obey what God has said. The king that is ruling in Jerusalem, they'll obey. They might think a lot of thoughts, but as long as they don't go out and steal or kill or any of those things, as long as they don't put their thoughts into action, they feign obedience. They bow to the rule, it says, because of the fear of the greatness of that king. And so at the end of the millennium, all of these thoughts, all of these things that have collected, that they have decided they don't like what's been going on, and when Satan's released, I just read it. But they'll be destroyed. Now, I believe this. All of those people will be standing at that great white throne. Every one of them. Because it doesn't say that they're cast into the lake of fire, like the beast and the false prophet, which were there for a good 1,000 years before the others went there. But this is the end. This is the last picture of the scene of the old world, because the next chapter is a new heaven and a new earth, eternity. But let's read this again. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now this last verse. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now there's another scripture, and I'll just quote it, and it's in the book of Revelation, the Lamb's book of life. Now the book of life and the Lamb's book of life, I believe, are synonymous, excepting this. The Lamb's book of life indicates that those that are written in there belong to the Lamb. They're His. He said He shed His precious blood to save them. Tonight, I'm going to close now. But I want to ask you, where is your name written? It can only be written in 2 places. It either can be written in the earth or in heaven. In the book of judgment that we've just read about, or the Lamb's book of life. Now, which is it? You know, you have to answer that question. You don't have to answer to me. I'm nobody. But you do have to answer that question to God. And you will. You will. You will answer that question. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ? You know, Pilate answered that question. Pilate answered it. He says, take ye him out and crucify him. That was his answer. I want to tell you a little bit about Pilate. Some of you may know, some of you may not. About 3 years after Pilate's order to crucify the person of the Lord Jesus, he had a controversy with the people down in Samaria. And the Samaritans went to Caesar and said, Pilate has done thus, thus, and thus. And Caesar called Pilate back to Rome, and they made an inquiry into the accusation that was made, and they found out that it was true, that Pilate had done exactly what the Samaritan said he had done. And Caesar says, you know, can't allow that. You've been banned from the empire. You've been banned from the empire. Get out. And that's what Pilate did. And when he got out, he committed suicide. You know, you don't trifle with God. We had it last night. Herod mocked the Lord Jesus. You don't do that and get away with it. That same Herod, you know, Pilate sent the Lord Jesus to Herod. And Herod mocked him and sent him back to Pilate. Those two men, one eaten of worms and the other committed suicide. Don't trifle. Don't trifle. Don't trifle with your soul. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Is it? If it's not, terrible. If it's not, and the Lord comes tonight, you will go through the tribulation. Oh, yes, you will. I guarantee it on the Word of God. You'll see every bit of that horribleness, and the end thereof is going to be a lake of fire. Horrible. Pray.